We're going to talk today about sharpening your relationship with Jesus. How many of you would like to hear a little bit about that? Sharpening your relationship then these days. So, I mean, we've been praying quite a bit, but I feel that we need to just open our hearts afresh. Lord, we want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to be channels of your goodness. We want to be empowered by your Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us perceive today. I ask that because this is a word, it's a burden-lifting word. It is a word of freedom, and it's also a word of instruction and impact. And I ask you for this anointing on this word today to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. First, when we're talking about sharpening our relationship with Jesus, we want to understand what Jesus did for us. Notice this. I've just put this under here as an incarnation unto redemption. Jesus became a person. He set aside all of his privileges of being God. For what reason? To redeem us from our sins. So we just list that. Jesus being God becomes a human being. This is what he's done. By the way, nobody else ever did that in history. He's one of a kind. Sinless. He dies for all the sins of mankind sacrificially. So Jesus comes, and I was in my study looking at the fact that Jesus could have sinned, but he didn't. He even suffered under bloodshed not to. Isn't that amazing? So for you and I, a human being that could have gone the other way, he was sinless, but he could have stepped across the line, he never did. Hallelujah. We have a sinless Savior. He died, he's dead. He experiences death in our place to take away the sting of death. This is a most remarkable thing. If you've ever been around hospice care people, you understand that. There's people, you know, you've done that, haven't you, Karen? Do you know the difference between a person going to heaven? It's very obvious, and a person not going to heaven because of how they're struggling at the end of their life. The people going to heaven, they fall into a sleep and just go to the Lord. I've been in the presence of several like that. It's such a beautiful thing. It reminds me of that scripture, how beautiful in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Because it's not death. It's just leaving this life and going to the fullness of the eternal life. It's the beautiful. And yet, if you're not going there, there's a torment. It's a struggle. It's a resistance. It's like you don't want to die. Now, he's risen. He's resurrected from the grave and breaking the power of death completely, and then he gives us new life. New life is his very life is imparted into each person's spirit who places their faith in him. And so there's Hebrews 2:14-15 in the New Living Translation says it this way: only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who live their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And so, here's the good news. Our ultimate enemy, death, has been defeated. Everything, death is the ending of our life, the fear of the ending of life, and ultimately death is to be separated from God forever. So, everything about death, our sin and our idols, which sends us into the futility of death, conceives. Lust brings forth sin. Sin produces death. Anything that you worship other than Jesus is an idol that leads you away from eternal life, leads you into death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. The devil is all about death. He's all about bringing death, who torments us with everything ending in the hopelessness of death. So Jesus has broken the power of death, under the rule of the devil. The torment. How many of you know, before you came to Jesus, can you recall the idea of not knowing where you're going? I mean, some of us has known the Lord so long, we forget that idea. But you know, if anybody in here can think about the days, I remember way back, you know, as a teenager, before I came to the Lord when I was 17, the sense of, you know, God started me on a journey with coming to know him. It's kind of funny, but I saw a little bird. Little bird, beep, 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 and he had a little wing hurting, and I grabbed him and put him in a little cage and started feeding him a greasy, slimy bologna. He thought it looked like worms, you know. I was killing the guy. I didn't know I was killing him. And I'm feeding him. And finally, I go in there one day, and I'm ready with my slimy bologna to give him another piece. And he looks at me deep in the eyes. He goes, and then he falls over and hits the bottom of the cage. And the idea of death hits me as about a 12 years old, 14 years old, hits me. God says, he plants the seed that I'm going to die by having this little bird look at me right in the eyes. He's almost looking at me like, you killed me. And I still so vivid in my body. Ah, boom. And then the tragedy of that death, that put me on a search for what's going to happen with me when I eat my last slice of greasy bologna. And all the world around us has no answer for the depression that death places upon the human heart. There's a lot of people that are depressed because they don't have the hope of new life in Christ. A lot of the anxiety, the depression, all that leading to death is sheerly because Jesus is not in their life. There is only one answer, one solution, or remedy. Jesus, everybody say it, has conquered death. Come on. Jesus has conquered death. And everything it does to us is completely conquered by Jesus Christ. Can somebody rejoice with me just for a minute? He has conquered death. Everything that comes to you to steal, to kill, destroy, to take away, to bring death into your life, he's overruled it. He's broken its power. He's taken its sting away. He's completely gutted it. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11, New Living Translation. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Somebody just say that, lives in me. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. Hallelujah. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Thank you, Jesus. This is what Jesus and no one else brings. Jesus brings new life by his Spirit to infuse your life. Your spirit was dead, now it comes alive. And you still have all the same old problems in your mind, your soul, your woundedness, and all the brokenness and things like that. This next slide says, how do you receive the Spirit of God? You give yourself to Jesus. You give yourself to him. You give yourself to Jesus, and he gives you his life. It's a swap. I bring my F report card, and he's got his A triple plus. He goes, you want to make a deal? You bring me all of your failure, all of your sin, everything that you've ever done wrong, and I'm going to do swaps. I'm going to put my righteous, complete, sinless report over your life. And now before Father God, you're justified as if you have never sinned. Let's praise the Lord just for a moment. What happens is there's a scrub job that has to go on through your life and my life over a period of time to begin to take away all the bad, we'll get to that. All the bad thinking we have. So this is our starting place. Without receiving his new life within us, we are doomed. Receiving his new life within us begins our relationship with it. Now, what is in this relationship? Would you read this with me? For the rest of your life, as you grow in him, you will discover that much of your perspective is bad. Oh my God, is it bad? And that your mind needs to be transformed to view life as he does. He doesn't see you broken down. He sees you risen up. He sees you repaired. He sees you redeemed and restored. He doesn't see you under it all. He sees you above it all in him. And you may not, but you will if you keep hanging out with him. I have never had the Lord put me down. My own mind has. People have. But Jesus and Father God and the Holy Spirit have never, ever demeaned me, belittled me, negated me, thought little of me at all. Can you praise the Lord with me right now? Just let's say he thinks the best of you. He's always thinking. I said it last week during communion. He's not looking for what you do wrong. He's not looking. That's not of interest to him. Only if you don't know and you just need to help, a little help, a nudge here and there. He affirms what you do right. Every single time I've gone to the Lord and asked specifically for certain help, he gives me his best advice, and it always works because he knows everything, and it works. And you can have a relationship with God where he leads you to, and you, of course, he'll say something, you go, okay, I got to go step into the faith realm and go do that. But then he keeps showing up. He's that way. So if you are, next one, if you are tormented with demons, they will be cast out. If you are undisciplined, you can become an apprentice of Jesus. With the Holy Spirit within you and by changing your priorities, your heart will be filled with his love daily. The Lord will heal the deeper brokenness of your heart and soul. This has been my journey. He will take you to lead you to take captive the thoughts that oppose your relationship with him. He will dismantle that, take that down, if you will let him. You will learn the beauty of trusting him and the value of keeping his word that empowers you to obey him. I've noticed something about, you know, just in the practice, we're going to shift gears in a minute here about what Jesus has done for us and then how we can partner with him. And this is not a long message, kind of a short one. But let me just go ahead and say, I've noticed that when I've gotten a point of freedom from the Lord, there was something recently back in February, March, where the Lord uncovered an area concerning my great-grandfather, the blessing of my great-grandfather's the only guy in the ministry, and there was all this blessing that flowed, but then there was the Lord identified he had been disinherited from in his family line because he believed in using music for worship and discipling people and all this stuff. He was cast out of a very religious environment. But the other thing that happened that I forgot all about was the fact that he was actually disinherited. And the Lord identified that. Says, I'm going to break that spirit that wants to rob your inheritance in life by my spirit. You know what I'm saying? There's a blockage. Some stuff just comes down and then there's a hindrance. Generational curse kind of thing is called. And the Lord highlighted this to me and he broke the power of it. I sat there, and this thing lifted from me. I didn't know it was there. But just because I'm pursuing the Lord, he wants to say, he's leading me to do a certain thing, to bring a certain blessing into people's lives in my life. He wants to get rid of anything that would hinder that. He's good that way. That's wonderful. That's who he is. He wants to remove what would block you from the blessings that he has for you. And then right after that, the very next day, I go, well, what am I supposed to believe about myself? And that's where you get in the Word, and you take your little journal out or your paper, and you write down the verses that the Holy Spirit highlights, and you sow those into your spirit. That's your new thinking. That's your new belief system. That's the thing that displaces. When you displace what's negative, you put in the positive thoughts of the Lord from the Word of God, and they have a power to change you. They have a power. And when you have that inside of you fueling your thinking and fueling your spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit uses to take you to new places. And there's like a freedom, a joy, a sense of partnership with the Lord because he removes something, but he doesn't just remove, he imparts. But it's our part to say, what is it you want to say to me? And then as you... You don't have to be old in the Lord for the Lord to speak to you, because his sheep hear his voice. If you're a little sheep, meh, I'm just a little sheep. But I've noticed over my life, the Lord said, well, let's see, I'm going to keep you out of trouble. I'm going to tell you where to go to school. I'm going to lead the whole thing. And every key place in my life, he would say, we're going to do this. He'd tell me what to do. He's so good. He's the greatest dad in the universe. I've always felt like Mr. Magoo. You know, Mr. Magoo would always show up at the right place and not have a clue how he got there. But the Lord can lead you and bring about his blessing in your life. Now let's look at, you can learn to abide in his love for you. You can learn his love is freely given, and that is the foundation of your new life. Now let's look at the lifestyle of Jesus and his relationship with Father God. Let's take a peek not only at what he's done for us, but let's go ahead and look at a few things that he did to kind of give us a chance to emulate or copy. If you, you know, when you go in your new job, you know, you got some training, right? And the culture used to be where it was all based on, you know, a son coming up and his dad teaching him how to do a certain skill and carrying on a family business. That was the environment that Jesus was in when he was bringing the disciples along. And we've used the word disciple so much, sometimes it can lose its sense of weight. But if you put the word apprentice in there, it gives it a little sharpness. So let's say you're walking along with Jesus and now you're an apprentice to learn the way that of the kingdom of God. And now he's going to personally impart to you and to make you your little protege, you know, under this mentor. And you're going to apprentice how to walk in with him. And Jesus is a very smart guy. So let's look at the next slide. So Proverbs 27:17. This is how we want to look at this. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, Jesus came upon a culture, and they were what? Dull of hearing. And he had to sit down with his disciples sometimes and kind of clarify and get them and ask them questions and probe and get them. He was sharpening them, and it was around them all. Could you imagine being with Jesus and not having a clue most of the time? Trying to get an understanding of who in the world he is, you know, in their life is the same in our life, you know. God wants to take you places, do things with you. So this iron sharpens iron. And then Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. How many of you been dull and had to work harder because you're not sharp? I know, isn't that true? But he says, wisdom brings success. So there's a sharpening. Jesus lived a life of wisdom, and he sought to impart the wisdom of a relationship with Father God to his disciples. Now look, I'm going to say something. Some of you might have heard it before. I'm sure many of you have. But we're talking about sharpening. This is important. So think about your schedule and stuff. So here's one of Jesus' practice. One of his practices was spending time. Everybody say spending time. Everything is after your time. Everything. Hello? Spending time. Jesus, one of his practices, and you're his apprentice, one of his practices was spending time. Everybody say it again. Spending time with Father God. He would rise early to get away to spend time with him or stay up late to spend time with him. So you have your morning dove people, your, you know, early risers. You have your late, you know, hoot owl people. Then he communed in his heart with Father God all day long. Living his Father's will was and is his complete joy. I want to say something to that last line, complete joy. Think about this for a minute with me. Is it your complete joy to fulfill his will for your life? It can be. It can actually be the joy of your soul. Doing what he wants you to do can be the driving momentum of your spirit and heart. It was the driving momentum of Jesus. He was the only person on the planet that ever only did the will of another. Your greatest fulfillment in life is going to happen in fulfilling his will for your life completely. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while in still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Next one, and these days he went out, this is Luke 6:12, he departed to the mountain to pray, he spent the night in prayer to God. Okay, So in our terms today, we would say that being with Jesus requires, everybody say, some silence and solitude. These are important words. This is not, notice that it is not isolation. Isolation is different. Isolation, which is more about feeding the desires of the fleshly nature, being isolated. But silence and solitude are about communing with Him in a quiet rest. Now, this is difficult for some people. It was difficult for me for many, many, many years because I had experienced physical abuse as a little one. And there was static on my channel. And when I would sit down, there was I had to turn on something. I don't know what it's demonic. It was the brokenness of my heart. It was this constant. If I walked in a room, I was by myself. I had to turn on a radio. I had to distract myself from the pain inside of me. So I can't just throw this up here and say, do this. If you're demonically tormented like I was, you got to get that out of there. But now I can sit. I can sit and enjoy this incredible relationship in silence. It's almost like your soul catches up with you. There's a fulfillment and a satisfaction that comes when you're alone with God. It's just you and Him. Silence, solitude. It's like you get the waters, the still waters in your heart, so calm that one little touch you recognize. You learn how to hear and feel and be quickened by the Lord. He can actually discuss things with you. And you know what I want to tell you? You know what's on His heart? Affirming you. Building you up. Nobody else is like Him. When you're quiet before the Lord, there's something that can stir and build you up. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm so glad you've taken this time to quiet your life and be alone with me. I want to pour something in you. And if you don't have it, I'm not talking once every month. I'm talking regularly. If you could do it daily, hallelujah. How many of you feel like the Holy Spirit is prodding something in your heart? We're talking about sharpening your relationship with Jesus. And this is one of those things that you get so dull being in the world, you lose your edge. And this sharpens you. And Jesus says, I want to sharpen you, and I want to cause you to hear me. Like I'll ask questions, and the Lord will tell me something. I've sharpened it. I don't want to lose that. And I can feel when I need to sit alone and be with Him. There's a calibration of that. We talked about that, Todd talked about that recalibrating of your heart, that having that time of Him speaking to you. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord right now. Father God, I just pray for every single person here. In every place, I feel like the Lord wants to, even now, there's an anointing in the Spirit to lift off where you have felt defeated or wayward, lacking. The Lord just doesn't want you to be under the burden of having self-condemnation. He says, you're forgiven. It's gone. In Jesus' name, it's gone. That's gone. That's gone. This is not a burdensome. Jesus says, come to me, you weary. Learn of me. Learn of me. Freedom is in me. Learn of me. My yoke is so much better than the one you put on yourself. Let's go and praise the Lord here. He wants you free, walking in the joy. Jesus is a joyful God. He is a happy fella. He's not downcast and, I got to go do spiritual warfare. He's like, hey, I got it all taken care of. Just come over here and let me love you. Ooh, when you're loved by the Lord, something rises up in you. You start to say, devil, get out. The devil goes, good. The devil don't have love. He's not in that realm. You need the love realm. You need the silence and solitude where God can pour His love into you and change you and keep you there. Let's just praise the Lord. This is so important to partner with the Lord, to be sharpened in your relationship with God is so important. There's so much joy and fun that can be had from this. At least let me jump off of there for a minute. What made Jesus happy? When the disciples went out and ministered, people came back and said, even the demons are subject to us. My God. He says, I saw Satan. He was happy. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, Jesus, he said, but you know what? You could rejoice over that, but it's better to hear. It's not the stuff you do in my name. It's that you belong to me. It's that you belong to me. I remember being down years ago doing a men's conference in Florida. Poured my soul out. Oh, my God. I was exhausted, and I had to go to a church the next evening. I was way back with Hap. We were in this hotel. There was a coffee pot inside of a gas station across the street. I walked over, and I came back with this gigantic cup of coffee, as big as they had. And I was like sipping this thing, and I did not want to do anything else. I was done. And I had to go and minister at a church, and I was exhausted, and I didn't want to go. And I'm sipping that coffee, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And he's so funny. He says, Lord says, you go ahead and go, and when I show up, you'll know it. when I show up, you'll know it. I said, I know that. So I go, right? And so it's kind of like this fellowship thing, and I got my guitar and I'm singing. I feel like the words are going boom. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes on me, and there's a man standing over here. And I turn it, and all the stuff flows out of me. I start talking to this guy. It's basically, there's a few people in the room, but I mean, mostly kids and women and stuff like that. So there's this man there. And I start flowing out in the Spirit, and I'm talking to him. It's like, man, this is what it was about. This is, you know, he showed up and I knew it. And I'm starting to speak to this guy. And the pastor, he said, tell him. And the guy said, he didn't get to go to the men's retreat. And he said, I asked the Lord if he would bring it to me. And the Lord brought the whole men's retreat to him. He gave him word and built him up. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He knows the deep needs of your heart. Oh, man. So it's not about this isolation. Rest, the silence and solitude are about communing with him in quiet rest. And it's about filling up your heart with his love. It's about that. It's about filling up your heart with his love. It's about being his and being alone with him. Without this time with him, your heart will feel empty. Hello. How many ever felt empty? Let me tell you, that's the reason. You will look to other things. This is a trap. You will look to other things to satisfy your life. You will become more and more empty inside. Let's look at Romans 8, 5 through 7. Read this with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Gosh. You just can't do it. But when you're sitting there with him, it's the law of life in Christ Jesus. I found this verse here. This is Psalm 17:15. I love it in this amplified version of the classic. There's two amplifiers. This is the classic Bible. In David's writing, this is written out. As for me, I will continue beholding your face in righteousness. rightness, justice, and right standing with you. I shall be fully satisfied. Everybody say fully satisfied. When I awake to find myself beholding your form and having sweet communion with you. Do you want to be satisfied in life? If you're not satisfied in life, this is where you go. You sit in His presence and allow Him to have you. I feel like the Lord is using this word to break chains. To break chains off. There have been subtle works of darkness to try to shackle you up. And the Lord's saying, this sweet word is breaking you free. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. I just want to be submitted to the Holy Spirit of freedom. The freedom of the Lord comes in a simple way and unlocks something that's been binding you back because you want to have the same beautiful, joyful relationship with Jesus. You've had it at times. The Lord's saying, I'm renewing you. You've gone through a season of trial. Now it's time. Now it's time. Now it's time to spend time with Him in silence and solitude and have your heart satisfied in the Lord. Let's praise the Lord again. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's pray in the Spirit, just some of you here. Just go ahead and take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next. Paul learned from Jesus the secret of being content. This is a big one. And he simplified his life. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I know what it is to be in need. This is Paul. And I know what it is to have plenty. Look at this. This is Paul. I have learned the secret of being content. This is massive for our culture today. This is off the charts massive. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And this is the context of I can do all things through Christ. This is the context. It's contentment. Contentment is the core issue of I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. It's contentment. You can do it. You can be contented and not be addicted to something. Hello. Let's go ahead. Isn't this a good word today? Understand that Father God is generous. I'm almost done here. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You can rest assured. The more you and I acknowledge, now this is a key. This is another little precious key. Let's go ahead and embrace this all thought here. Just tell your own soul, you don't deserve anything ever. Everything's a gift. Once you get there, a gratitude will rise up in you. You'll be more thankful than ever. When you kill off the you deserve, when you kill off the I deserve attitude inside of you, I'm talking about sharpening your relationship with Jesus. Now, Jesus pinpointed this need in us really deeply. When you do that, you'll be more relaxed and capable of living in the moment. You'll be, I don't know if I wrote that down, but the more you relax and capable of living in the moment we become when you realize you're undeserving of anything. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Next slide. Jesus said this. So Jesus is hitting this thing. He says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. What do you say to the servant when he comes in from the field? Come along now and sit down and eat. And that's our attitude. He's coming against that attitude. He said, would he rather say, prepare my supper? Get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. We don't deserve anything. Now, here's what happens. Behind the scenes, the Lord sees, because you're doing it as unto him and not the people. And he starts rewarding and promoting and doing all kinds of things in your life because you go, well, I don't really deserve anything anyway. It's not false humility. It's just an understanding of kingdom life. It's maturity. Amen? Come on, put the little music there on, if you would. We sharpen our relationship with Jesus when we take the time to understand all he's done for us, which reveals his heart for us and for those around us. Let's stand together just for a moment. I'm going to finish here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Allow the Lord to come about you right now. I feel like the Lord is the best friend. He's God Almighty. He's Almighty God, and yet he's closer than a brother. So many of us have this idea that he's this judging God, the judge in heaven looking for something to strike, and that's not it. He's the encourager. He's the one that slips his arm around you and says, you okay? You all right? You're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I'm going to care about you. Inside my love for you, you're going to have a new strength, an ability to do things you had no idea. Let's come along. You know, he even pulled the disciples and said, come along. And we went to a solitary place and all the people followed them there. That's reality. He tried to get his disciples alone and they got interrupted. And more need showed up. Contending for silence and solitude is so important. Anybody want to embrace the reality of this? Heather, you have a word?
Well, I this is a very, very timely message, don't you think? How many times, ladies, do you carve something with a knife and you find that it gets dull real easy and you've got to sharpen it? So having these reminders is part of our finiteness, you know? But I also, being the practical woman that I am, how many of you have a quiet solitude, is that the right word, place that's just for you and Jesus, whether it's a chair, a room? Because it said he went to a solitary place. You cannot do that, beloved, in the midst of a chaotic kitchen or a chaotic living room or something like that, because all of those chaotic things take your time. Because you're sitting there and you're going, I really should do this, and I really should do that. And or you get up and you pick up the books that are there, or you begin, and you get distracted. Now I'm talking practical, honey. I need to be practical. I know where you go. And every few years you change that place. So maybe it's time to change your place or make one for the first time. Make a solitude place. I happen to have a chair in my living room with a pretty lamp next to it and my Bible and a basket with all my things. It's very neat and orderly. And how many of you would know that would be me, right? And my living room is very neat and orderly so that I'm not distracted. Everything that is not of this moment is in the past. So be good to your future self by cleaning up your act. Get rid of the clutter and find yourself. Don't get me started on, I could teach whole class on how to straighten your life out. But let's just straighten this one life out right now. And that's that sharpening relationship with Jesus by finding a little place for yourself and Him. That's nobody else's. And rarely do I disturb Him in His solitude place. Every once in a while, I'll yell from my solitude place, come be with me. But that's after He's been with Him. Good message, huh? Thank you, honey.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just do it. Amen. If anybody need other further prayer, we're up here. Love on each other. You're dismissed.